Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're in Philippians 4, 1 through 9, and we finished 4 and 5. And this chapter is all about rejoicing in the Lord, whether it's an affliction or it doesn't matter. We're just to rejoice, and that's where we're going to pick up is rejoicing.
It's so good. We actually, last time, you have to go back and listen because there's something powerful. We just went through a whole bunch of verses on rejoicing, and it just ministers to your heart.
Do they know you have a podcast?
Who?
Have we ever said that on the radio about your podcast on your Cultivating Hearts?
Well, we can go to, you're right, I haven't said that this time. Let's do that. Yeah. So we need to remind you that you can listen to the podcast at www.terrarye.com or cultivatinghearts.org. And if you want to email us, you could go to either of those sites or go to theopendoormission.org and you can contact us.
And on the left-hand side, there's a podcast. You can
exactly.
go and
listen.
All of the programs, the radio programs are there.
Right. Yeah. We've actually got so many now. We had to let some of the first years go.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been there for a while.
We've gotten so many that we had to let go of some, which was really sad. But our beginning years are no longer on the podcast.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Space. You have to pay big money for that, and so sometimes you have to move on.
Yep, you do.
We're so glad you're here. Okay, here's the deal. Oh, my goodness. He says to them, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And twice in this verse, he pulls out that word. We looked at verses on rejoicing. We saw that we're not to rejoice in injustice, but in truth, not in evil. We're to rejoice in affliction and suffering and hope and feeling, but we're not to rejoice over somebody falling. But it's okay for us to pray that our enemy not have opportunity to rejoice over us. And then I would like for Hosanna to read for us James 4:8, because we have here a promise that I think we each need to hold, because as we looked at rejoicing, we discovered that something powerful happens when a person rejoices. Scripture actually says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And so that is actually fulfilled in a promise in James 4:8. So read for us that verse.
Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Mm. Okay. Oh, I made the connection
that double-minded
from the first radio show. We both went, we talked about that the first show. Okay, so what I want us to focus in, come near to God, and he will come near to you. What happens is when we take the time to rejoice, it fulfills the Romans 12:2, where it says, I just went blank. You guys help me. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I just totally said the verse and then lost the content. And when we allow rejoicing to come out, it changes us. It changes us for good. We saw as we went through the scriptures last time, it increases our gladness. It increases our belief. And so this promise, come near to God and he'll come near to you. I don't remember which commentary I found this. I'm thinking maybe it was in either Bible Knowledge Commentary, or maybe even Barnes Commentary. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I did not make a note. It's in my handwritten notes, but I didn't type it. And they said, these are the things that we should trust in and we should actually apply to our life. And so when we're coming near to God, so you have to trust his timing. You have to rely on his promises. You have to wait for his answers. There's Nick. Believe in his miracles, rejoice in his goodness, and relax in his presence. Okay, so it's trust, rely, wait, believe, rejoice, and relax. And each of these are the things that we have that we can rejoice in. We can rejoice that God's timing's perfect, that his promises are the best. His answers are always the best. His miracles are miraculous. Can you do that? Can you divine something with its own word?
I think so.
His goodness is his righteousness, and his presence is with us always. And so it's a beautiful summation of what we have that we can say, I'm going to draw near to you, God. So I'm going to rejoice despite affliction, suffering, or circumstances, because these are truths that I have that you fulfill and honor. And so 1 Thessalonians, let's go to a new chapter. Chapter 5 has the rejoice always in it. And so I wanted us to tie this in because
Paul pulled it into another one of his letters. And in this one, he gives us the command to pray continuously. So, Zanna, go ahead and read that for us. We want verses 16 through 18, chapter 5.
Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Okay. So, this is so cool. I want you all to think on this, because would you believe that our ability to rejoice actually reveals we're reasonable? This is crazy.
Yeah.
Earlier on one of the breaks, we were talking about the fact that when we're in a position where somebody who's angry, grumbling, complaining, it actually, like, if we're truly walking right with God, it will bother us. And the reason I believe it bothers us, one, they're out of the will of God, clearly. But two, it reveals the person's no longer being reasonable. And I'm like, this is like, I wish you could just see, this is like this great big balloon.
That's funny you said that, because the gentle spirit talks about being reasonable.
Yeah, and we'll get to that too. It's so good. It is so good. It just humbles me. So the rejoicing always, it's not based on people. It's not based on the circumstances. It's not based on what I think it needs to be. It's based on confidence in God. It's the confidence that God is, his timing is perfect, his promises are reliable, waiting for his answers is secure, believing that his miracles can happen, and rejoicing that his righteousness will reign, and relaxing. Chill out, babe. You know, I was like, chill, dude, kind of thing. And so based on that confidence, having that confidence in God and confidence that God's in control, that he is omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent. That's the word. It's like, how do I say that word? I could, like, couldn't even say it right. And I was looking at these, and I've almost determined as I was studying, and I think this is what I'm going to pray, because this year was rejoice, and I think it's kind of fun that my word for next year is going to come out of it. I think for next year, what I am going to pray for myself, for me as a leader, is quiet confidence
that's good.
In God. Not quiet confidence in myself, but the quiet confidence of God. And resting in that he is who he is. So Paul says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all things. And then let's go to where underneath it, it says, wait, I'm not in that chapter. Could you read it again to us, Zanna?
Just 15 through
18?
Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Wait, it's in Philippians. I want us to go back to Philippians 4.
Okay,
let me. I was like, wait, that's not right. Go to Philippians 4 and then read verse 5. Sandy, do you have it?
I do.
Okay, go ahead. You read verse 5.
Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand.
Okay. That word, gentleness, is also reasonableness. Now, how interesting is that? We're going to take that a little bit further here in a second. I'm going to have Zanna, though, read for us the Philippians 4:5 in the Amplified.
Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, and your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He is coming soon.
Okay, what the Amplified does is it takes each word and it makes the full definition of what that word would actually mean in the English language. And so I wrote over to the side of it, okay, to know, perceive, and to recognize our reasonableness, our gentleness. And the thing is he says it's all men. What? That stinks.
But he uses that word all a lot.
I know. Sometimes I don't want to be gentle and I don't want to be reasonable. I want to go off in my emotions. Not acceptable. God forgive me. So you like words, Sandy.
I do like words.
Right. This unselfish. I wanted to pull that one in. Recognize your unselfish and your considerateness. The unselfishness is epikeia, which your gentleness, your patience, your softness, your patient mind.
That's one to pray for. God, give me a patient mind, modesty, forbearance, a forbearing spirit, magnanimity, yieldingness, unwillingness to litigate or contend.
Hmm.
Interesting. That was my Dr. Nebaker word for the day. He used to be my boss in SDO, and Dr. Nebaker, whenever something was profound, he would look at us and kind of tilt his head and he'd go, interesting. It always makes me happy. And so now whenever I use the word interesting, I have my Dr. Nebaker moment.
That's cute.
You just take things from people. All right, so that unselfishness.
Hmm.
Okay. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Now, remember, he had just said, rejoice always, pray continually. Let's go back up. Verse 4.
Let your gentleness.
Hold on. I got to get back into the right the right book. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And then it says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming. So when I am always rejoicing, I'm actually letting people see I'm a reasonable person.
But people often think you're crazy at the same time.
You know, sometimes you're right.
Yeah. I think that's the oxymoron of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, he often puts us in very oxymoronic situations where, you know, you're blessed if you're cursed. Mm. And, you know, celebrate when you're persecuted. Those are things that just don't make sense to the world. But here it is right here, that if I am willing to say God is good in my affliction, in my suffering, and give him glory.
And thy will be done.
And thy will be done. It totally reveals my ability to reason through my circumstances. I'm like, God, this is amazing. And I wrote this out, and I think I was writing it more to myself. I wrote, the heart of the person who will let God fight her battles is the one that rejoices so that her reasonableness will be made known.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote, a person who is free to let go of these anxieties and all things that cause them stress because he knows God will take up the cause. And then, so I'm reflecting on this reasonableness, and Paul is like really honing in and wanting them to get it, because then once he said, okay, I want you to rejoice so you can be reasonable before all the people, he then says, a command, do not be anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be anxious. And I'm like, ugh. Why do you have to put that in? Because my mind wants to be anxious. I have to work hard.
I do too.
To be reasonable.
That's why my word was gentleness.
Right?
Need to be reasonable. But mine said, like, not harsh or violent, loving, forgiving, quiet, kind. There's so many words that go into that reasonable or gentleness or whatever.
Yeah. Those are great words.
A lot of words.
Mine all come from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, is where I was getting mine from. Okay, so let's go to, how much time we have? Oh, we've got plenty. Good. All right, so he says then, let's read, Zana, you want to read for us? Could you read, go ahead and read Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Okay, he understands how we work. All right, he says, I want you to rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to rejoice always. He has already told them this 12 times. He recognizes that there's an authentic struggle, but he is telling them this because he wants them to understand. It shows that you are a reasonable being. And this is the reason why. If I am anxious and I am worried, I am not a person who's rejoicing. And I'm definitely not a person who's reasonable.
Right.
And I am definitely not a person who's surrendered to God.
And you're definitely not in peace.
Completely. There's nothing there. And so what he does is he begins to attack the heart, the condition of the heart, the actual issue that makes us unreasonable. And what makes me unreasonable is I am anxious in my thoughts and I have worry. And I remember, Zana, I was probably your age and I had never heard this before. It was like a huge thing. And I think I was reading
Oswald Chambers. And I discovered through Oswald Chambers that worry is a sin. And I did not know that worry was a sin. I did not know that me thinking over and over in my mind about something was actually me saying, I'm going to dwell on this, and mm-hmm. it's more important than what God can do if I surrender it to God. I had never, ever had that connection happen to me. It was like huge. And I can remember Greg and I early on in our marriage as we're talking through things, and he's like, looking at me, he's like, you worry so much about things that are not
non-essential.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, why are you dwelling on that? And Greg was constantly having to redirect me back. And bless his heart, he was so patient with me.
That's why I miss Steve so much, because he would redirect me too when I was like somewhere in knows where.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my stabilizer.
Shows us how to be reasonable.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, ladies, that's
very reasonable.
That's a good character trait to look for in a husband.
And if you have one of those, give him a big hug and say thank you.
Yeah, praise them, definitely.
Absolutely.
So, he hits the heart issue. Anxiety, worry are the two biggies that we deal with that reveal we're not being reasonable. They show that we're an unreasonable person. But he doesn't just give the command, don't be anxious. He takes it a step further. But this week, over the weekend to see the Fantastic Creatures.
Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yes, it was good. And we went to go see it, and there's a quote where the main character, what's his name, do you know? I don't know. Sorry, all those people that are really good at remember these kinds of things. It's not in my head. But here's the quote. The main character looked at the girl and he said, don't worry, because if you do, you have to live it twice.
Oh, good. That's good.
And I
said, 90% of the time we don't have to live it at all, so we're worrying about it, nothing.
Right. Yeah. And you're living something that you shouldn't be living. And I remember thinking, no, because worry means you're doing it over and over. That means, honestly, they're living it 1,000 times over. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes me unreasonable.
Mm-hmm. It's very unreasonable to do it that many times.
It's like, oh, God help me. And so I want us to think on the getting our heart right, the reason why he commands it, so that our reasonables can be made known. So we want to confess it and bring it before God and deal with it in the supplication. And we'll go into that next time. We only have about 10 seconds left. And so we want to say thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. We'd love to hear from you at cultivatinghearts.org or tararye.com. And God bless.